Just to introduce myself, because some of you don't know me, some of you know me very well. My name's David Levy. I go to Ebenezer Baptist Church just down the bottom of the hill, where I've gone since I was 7 years old. We pray for you. We have links with you as a church. We pray for you. There's lots of connections. Lots of people from our church have preached in your church, and they're the same the other way around. I live on the hill up above Tesco's on the way to Pentlegay, and I work in a factory making orthopedic implants, knees and hips and spines and all sorts of things like that in Bridgend. And that's, I think it's getting to be one of the biggest factories in Wales now, because everybody's getting fatter and older. So our managing director likes places like McDonald's. So if your mom or your gran goes in for a hip operation or a knee operation, it was probably made in Bridgend. Right. So that's enough about me. I became a Christian when I was between the time I was 7 and 8. And very often I've thought, do I really know God? And I want to speak on some verses which help me when I think about that. Do I really know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Perhaps you're thinking that even this morning. You're wondering that. Do I know Jesus? If Rachel will excuse me, because I know Rachel since she was tiny. One of the great things about Rachel when she was in our church was, and she can shout if I say this wrong, is she started to ask God to save her when she was about 11, 12, was that right? But it wasn't until you were about 16 or 17 that you knew that. Was that right? Yeah? It was later. Well, that makes the story even better. We know Jesus at the moment we trust in him. We might not feel anything. You might not feel wonderful. You might not have a big light like Paul had on it, shining on him. But we know Jesus when we trust in him. We may not know that in ourselves, but Jesus tells us to trust him. I love that song that we sang, the one about... to the tune of Jingle Bells. I wanted to take a photograph, but I didn't know whether I was allowed to, so if I can have the words for that later, it was brilliant. So we're going to read three verses. I'm going to use the version that we use in our church, sorry, because I think it's clearer, and maybe you can see that, which is the new English Standard Version, that's right. This is the new King James, is it? NIV, right. Okay, you can see it's about the same, but I think the words I use are clearer. Just a couple of words, which I hope will bring out the meaning. So I'll read verse 1 to 3, and you can compare. Tick when I say the right thing. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is my delight. There's some words there which really give it oomph, really give it meaning. First of all, he says, preserve me. What does preserve mean? When I think of preserve, I think of something my mom used to do when we were little. She had these big glass jars with a gold top on and a thing that tightened, took fruit and made preserve. A few weeks ago, we saw on the TV, they discovered some tombs in Egypt under one of the pyramids, which they'd never seen before. And what they were excited about was that there were some pharaohs and some of his family were preserved in there. Thousands of years they've been preserved. So we know what preserved means. But when we talk about something that's preserved, it's always about something that's dead. The fruit is picked, the pharaohs are dead. They might look as if they're living, but they're dead. But this psalm, David is asking God to preserve him. He doesn't want to be pickled. He's asking for something to happen to him on this earth. He's asking that the good things in him would become better. Now, as we go through life, naturally, we become more suspicious. You know, older people become more fearful. Listen to these verses in Galatians. I'll just read them really quickly. This is a description of what will naturally happen to us as we get older. The works of the flesh are evident, things that happen to us. Think of midlife crisis. You've seen this in lots of many people's lives as they get older. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, rudeness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious jealousies, outbursts of wrath. People get annoyed at little things. Jealousies, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Midlife crisis. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what David wants. This is what David wants God to do in him. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that lovely? If you agree with me, if you think that's a lovely thing, that's a sign that God's worked in you. Wouldn't you want to be like that? Full of those things? But naturally we're not. David's saying, I want God to preserve me, not stick me in a jar. I want the good things that he's put in me to become more and more, and the bad things, I want him to take them away. Preserve me, oh God, he says. This is important. He's pleading with God. That's what that O is there for, is it O? Yeah, my God. It's, oh God, for in you I put my trust. Once you say that, once you really mean and put your trust in God, that's when he accepts you. He promises, if you come to me, he says, you will be accepted. Then he said in the second verse, oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. He's saying it. I say to the Lord, oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. He's putting it like that because he's talking to himself, oh my soul. And I'm saying it because deep down I believe it, but very often I don't act in that way. Those who know the Lord Jesus will tell you that. He's my Lord. He's in charge of my life. I know he's in charge of my life, but sometimes he's so kind that I go to go away from him and do something that I know is wrong, that I know will hurt him, that I know will hurt others. And he stops me. He makes that impossible. He's still my Lord. But he is really deep in my heart. I know he is my Lord. It's something I want to act. It's something I want to live out. Oh, my soul, you have said to my Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. We all need to come to know that. We may have come to church this morning and think, well, this is a really good thing. I'm going to Town Hill Baptist. People will look on me, look down the street. They're going to Town Hill Baptist. That's an impressive thing to do. But that doesn't matter. We may be dressed in nice clothes. We may be the best person in our street. We don't do the things that other people do. But this verse, David's saying, it's nothing. My goodness is nothing. All my goodness, anything good in me, comes from God. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And then verse 3, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is my delight. Sometimes we wake up on a Sunday morning and we think, oh, it's raining, I'm being busy, I'm tired. I really don't want to go to church. But David says here, my delight, the thing that thrills me most, is being with God's people. That's another sign that God has put in your heart, that love for him. If you love him, you will love his people. It doesn't matter how ugly they are. It doesn't matter how rude they are to you sometimes. You love them. And look at the way he puts it. As for the saints, and we can stop there. I say of the holy people who are in the land, or holy people or saints, we think of as those people with statues in Rome, perhaps, around the Vatican. People like Paul and Apollos and Aristotle. What was that chap in the early church beginning with A? I can never remember his name. The one who lived in North Africa. Anyway, him. He's got a statue in there. We think of those as saints, great Christians, leaders of the church, popes and people like that. But the saints are those people who come to church, those people who love the Lord Jesus. Everyone who puts their trust in the Lord is a saint. As for the saints, and it's not just those who are in heaven, those who have been made holy, as that verse says, it's not just the ones who are leaders in the church. It's those who are on the earth, those who we go to church with on Sunday, those who we live with, those that we know, those of our brothers and sisters who are suffering in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, those who that lady in Pakistan who's so fearful about because she loves the Lord Jesus and they hate her because of it. These are the saints who are on the earth, the people with faults like us. But this is what David says about them. They are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. One of the reasons I wanted to read this version is because when he says that, it sounds like something a surfer or a skateboarder would say in California, isn't it? You can imagine someone with one of those Donald Trump hats on, the wrong way around. That those Christians I know, those Christians that I go to church with, those who I see every day, they are the excellent ones. There is something so special about them that is different from this world. They are the ones I delight to be with. In fact, he says something incredible, in whom is all my delight. Nothing in this world compares to being with God's people. If you know something of that, that is a sign that you trust in God. It's the most important thing. At the beginning of this psalm, it says a Mitchum of David. It would be just under Psalm 16 if you've read this in the Bible. It says a Mitchum of David. Now, nobody really knows what that means. But it's there for a purpose, and they think it means something that is so good. Don't just write it down on a scroll or something that's going to decay, but carve it into stone. What David's written should be preserved. 3,000 years later, we are reading it. It's been preserved. It's something that is so important. We want God to preserve us. We want to trust him. We want him to be our Lord. But also we want to delight in the work that he does in others. When you see something little that another Christian does, it is a beautiful thing that God has done. God has brought that fruit out in their lives, and it should cause us to rejoice. May God help us to trust in such a Saviour. Amen. Shall we pray to finish? Lord God, our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for, Lord, showing us in your word how important it is to trust in you, how we should strive to know in our daily lives that you are our Lord and to follow your ways. Lord, and we pray that you would keep us in our love for your people. Lord, we thank you for the church you've established here. We thank you for the many, many years. This has been a light to our dark city. And we pray for our churches, Lord, that they would prosper, that many would come to know the Lord Jesus in them, and that we would delight in fellowship together, that your people, the saints on this earth, would be our delight. For your name's sake, amen.